Hello, and welcome to Security Wire Weekly for Wednesday, April 5th, 2006. I'm Bill Brenner. This week, a look at how IT security played out during the Winter Olympics. Determina's Nand Malchandani talks about patching the latest Internet Explorer flaw with third-party fixes in this week's Security Spotlight. And Verizon discovers the cost of aggressive spam blocking. But first, our top story. A recent survey conducted by The Economist and Symantec suggests some enterprises aren't doing enough to secure smartphones and other mobile devices. Paul Miller, Symantec's Director of Mobile and Wireless, said he was taken aback by the contradictory results of the survey. On one hand, 82% of the nearly 250 company executives surveyed by the Economist Intelligence Unit said they see the damage from virus attacks as the same or greater on a mobile network than on a fixed network. Yet only 26% have actually assessed the security risks of smartphones, compared with 81% of enterprises that have assessed their laptop security. Despite the proliferation of mobile device use in the enterprise, only 9% of respondents said they have deployed a comprehensive security architecture designed to include mobile device access. Meanwhile, 39% said they have granted mobile devices access to the corporate network on an ad hoc basis, and 39% have also integrated mobile devices into the security architecture of their existing fixed networks. Almost 20% of businesses have suffered financial loss due to attacks targeting mobile data platforms. Miller said too many enterprises use outdated security paradigms. He said that in today's enterprise, there are multiple endpoints to account for, and proper protection can't be tackled as one size fits all. He suggested that companies look at smartphones as part of the endpoint and adjust their overall endpoint security to account for this. And employees must be trained to think of smartphones the same way they think of laptops, that they contain the same data and need to be cared for the same way. Our next story looks at how IT security played out at the recent Winter Olympics Games in Turin, Italy. During the 17 days of competition, IT services firm Atos Origin SA logged 3.1 million suspicious events daily, and not one threatened the game's IT infrastructure. That's because the French company took a somewhat radical approach to identity management and access control. It dropped users or devices that tried to access an application or network outside the norm. Atos Origin recently released a recap of its Olympic security effort, revealing that it thwarted 158 potentially major disruptions, including 10 deemed critical because of how close the unauthorized access occurred to an event. The company's policy typically meant disable first and ask questions later. Otherwise, weird activity could mean someone was trying to alter results or even wreak havoc during a live event. Patrick Adiba, Atos Origin's executive vice president of the Olympics and other major events, said the way the company treats security is that they have several alerts generated by the systems in place, and they don't know initially if these events are problems or a potential threat. So without knowing the user's intention, Atos took no chances. The company simply disabled any suspicious line or checked out where the activity was coming from during off hours by calling in physical security to help. But in the real world, would Atos Origin's tough love anomaly-based approach fly in most enterprises? Adiba said the basic principles and tools his company used would work for any company, though most organizations wouldn't need to take such drastic precautions since they typically aren't dealing with a high-stakes event of the Olympics magnitude. And now this week's Security Spotlight. In the last 2 weeks, much attention has been focused on the latest security hole in Microsoft's Internet Explorer web browser. To date, more than 200 websites have been uncovered that exploit the so-called Create Text Range flaw. Microsoft is rushing to complete a patch in time for its monthly batch of security updates, April 11th or perhaps sooner. Meanwhile, the heightened concerns have also prompted security firms EI Digital Security and Determina to release their own patches. Joining me to discuss the threat and the third-party patches is Nand Malchandani, Vice President of Marketing and Business Development for Determina. Nand, welcome to SecurityWire Weekly.
Thank you.
Nand, your firm released the IE fix right after EI Digital Security put out its own fix. Why did Determina put one out after another had already been released?
Sure. Actually, both fixes came out within hours of each other on Monday night, and we actually didn't do anything in response to their fix. We have been actually working on the fix over the weekend, testing it and making sure that it was compatible with any number of different situations. So we actually, both companies, I think, were surprised that the other affiliates have had it, actually.
Now, there's been some talk about the third-party fixes, about how the more that are out there, the more confusing it is for the IT administrator or user on the consumer side. In your mind, was it worth putting out your own fix because it had something that the EI fix did not have that perhaps was more helpful or addressed a different set of problems?
Not all fixes are created equal. There are actually significant technical differences among patches, so let me actually address that. The EI patch actually modifies system files on disk, while ours actually modifies code as Internet Explorer is running in memory. So what that means is that we don't make any permanent changes to Windows, which is very, very critical, actually, not only for Microsoft itself, when they actually update the real thing, on April 11th or 4th, they'll actually be remodifying files on disk, and that actually is a big, big difference. I personally wouldn't install EI's patch because of this issue of modifying files on disk. The other thing to point out is that Ilsoc, who actually wrote the original WMS fix back in December, recommends our patch on his blog. You can check it out at hexblog.com, and to quote him, patch is nice and clean. It does not modify the system files on disk. So we've actually had independent security, folks out there who actually have tested our patch, looked at the source code, and feel that it's clean.
Now, it would seem that your patch wouldn't necessarily be appropriate for all organizations, and so tell me about the circumstances in which you think an enterprise should install it or maybe should not install it.
Sure. The patch was written in a way and actually packaged in a way that makes it very, very friendly to enterprises, both small and large. If you notice, the MSI installer can actually be run within the context of a large system administration product like SMS or Tivoli, etc. The one that we feel would benefit most from the patch actually might actually be the individual consumer who doesn't have a large security IT organization behind them to maybe cut out spam and spyware and et cetera coming in through the firewalls or through email. And people who might be actually tricked into going to one of these 200 websites that you mentioned there, we found that, consumers in some sense, the concept of a drive-by spyware download is actually a fairly new concept, which is where they can get infected just by visiting a website. And in those situations, I think the Determina fix actually might be a really good one for them to install.
Nand, Microsoft tends to frown on other companies releasing fixes that are not coming from Microsoft itself. Have you been in touch with Microsoft this time around? And what have they been telling you?
Contact with Microsoft around this particular patch. We actually have had, obviously over the years, a number of contacts and discussions with Microsoft just in general. In February, we announced that we were part of their Secure IT Alliance. So, in general, we support their efforts to obviously secure the platform and other things out there. And in general, our customers are actually protecting against this vulnerability in a zero-day way. So, there were no updates required for our customers or signatures. This was really done more as a sort of a public service, if you may, or a way to showcase our LiveShield technology. Microsoft have been really good to work with in general, and haven't actually, talked to us or discouraged us from doing any of this. Their public stance is actually very clear, which is, Yahtzee has pointed out, frown upon companies doing third-party passes. But the fact is that customers today, without the existence of a patch, are completely unprotected. And we stepped in to basically fill that gap, and we'll probably continue to do so until there is a broader solution found for these types of vulnerabilities in general.
Okay. Nand Mulchandani from Determina. Thanks for joining us, Nand.
Thank you.
Finally, Verizon learns the cost of aggressive spam blocking. This week, the Tech Dirt blog told the story of how Verizon got fed up with dealing with spam for its DSL customers in late 2004 and implemented a massive block list that seemed to block a ton of email from outside the country, with no way to get around the list. According to the blog, people who use their Verizon email address to communicate with colleagues in Europe, for example, suddenly were unable to do so. Complaints flowed in, and Verizon's official response was that people should make a phone call if it really is important rather than relying on email, the blog noted. Enough people were annoyed that Philadelphia law firm ConSwift and Graph PC filed suit against Verizon on behalf of a disgruntled DSL customer. It now appears that a settlement is at hand under a deal where affected Verizon Internet Services customers would receive up to $49 if they failed to receive legitimate email from Asia or Europe between October 2004 and May 2005. The lawyers who handled the case are asking for $1.4 million. The blog noted that the whole affair could make other ISPs a bit more cautious about aggressive spam filtering in the future. And that's SecurityWire Weekly from SearchSecurity.com. Don't forget to read our news each day as it breaks at SearchSecurity.com/news, where you can sign up for our daily email newsletter or our RSS feed. Thanks for joining us.